Welcome back to our next session, and the subject of this session is how to study the Bible and share it with others. And again, I'd just like to commit this session to the Lord in prayer before we start. Dear Father, we again come before you. We beseech you, Lord, as our Father, that you would lead us in this study again. Quicken our minds, we pray, Lord, to understand, to be energetic by your Spirit. We know your Spirit is actually energy. So grant us your energy, we pray, and help us again to be empowered by this knowledge to do your work and to do that to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So how to study the Bible and share it with others? That really probably is at the crux of what this training program is all about. And there are probably as many answers to that question as different people prepared to preach the gospel. There are many angles that we can take. The people that we are preaching to have all sorts of requirements, all sorts of different aspects of the Word of God that will appeal to them, that will capture their attention. You know, Jesus described his disciples as being fishers of men. It's actually a very good analogy. I don't know how many of you are fishermen, but a fisherman will often change his bait. He'll change the type of fly he uses if he's a trout fisherman, because different fish like different bait. And again, this is the Lord's work. He is in it. But purely from a natural perspective, if you like, or a way in which we can use our wisdom and intelligence to be creative in this area, we can use different bait. You know, there are some people who are very intellectual. There are others who, for them, being told that God loves them and he has a plan for them, really touches their heart. So use wisdom when you're preaching to people. But firstly, I want to start off with this foundation, and it's product knowledge. There is no substitute for Bible reading and Bible devotion. I know some of you here today are business people. For you to run your business, you need knowledge of your product. Personally, I'm a salesman. I have a business selling product. How can I sell product I really know nothing about? I'm going to be very quickly exposed as a bit of a charlatan if I'm trying to sell my product and frankly, I know nothing about it, or I tell lies about it. In other words, I give false information. Now, our Bibles, they're a thick book. There's 66 different components, different books that make up our Bible. There's a lot of revelation from God in there, a lot of information that we can share with people. So I would encourage you, read your Bible regularly. Get a Bible reading chart. We make these available for free. And they take you through the whole of the Bible, in fact, the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in a calendar year, just by reading a few chapters every day. It's most important. So daily Bible reading. What did Jesus say when he said, "Give us this day our daily bread"? That was a part of the Lord's Prayer. Daily sustenance. In another place he says, every day is a day unto the Lord. I think actually Paul wrote that. Also, we're told not to worry about tomorrow, for such is the evil for one day. So daily Bible reading. It is a discipline, but the whole of the Christian walk, in fact, is a discipline. Disciplining our flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "I bring my body under subjection. I bring my body under subjection. I let it know its master." In that chapter, he says, "I'm not a shadow boxer. I'm not pretending to fight. I'm doing the real thing. I'm really in battle for the Lord." So reading our Bible is another one of those disciplines. Some of us are better at reading than others. Some of us are less disciplined than others. But this is something the Spirit of God can help us with. Now, fortunately, these days we live in really a time of information explosion. We have discs that have the Bible on it. Personally, I do a lot of driving around the country with my job. When I worked in our nearest city, 30 kilometres away from where I live, I would have 30 minutes every day driving to work, 30 minutes every day coming back from work. What do you do with that time? Flick the radio on, listen to the latest pop music. Well, that's useful for your spiritual growth, isn't it? Sorry to sound facetious, but what we can do, we can use that time to meditate on the Lord, to be thinking on Him. Personally, that's a time that I use to put my tape or my disc in and listen to the Word of God. It's a time for me to do my readings. Now, this is important not only from the perspective of us teaching others, but for our own personal growth. Romans 10 says, faith comes from where? It comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you want faith? Do you want your faith actually to grow? Because the Bible talks about our faith going from faith to faith. When we come to Christ, our faith is probably very basic. But the Lord wants our faith to grow from faith to faith. And I tell you, there is no shortcut. It is the Word of God which will enable your faith to grow. So use the technology we have. Discs, internet, whatever it is. But again, I stress reading the Bible, not leaving it on the shelf just to gather dust. Open its pages, get to know its pages. I often use this analogy, and it applies whether you're male or female, but in this analogy, because I'm male, I'll talk about it from a male perspective. You know, gentlemen, you fall in love with a woman. But your woman, she has to move away for a time. Maybe she gets transferred with her job or whatever reason. She moves away to another country. Now, in the old days when letters were written, of course it's easier nowadays, we have email. But she writes you a letter, a love letter, telling you how much she loves you, how much she is missing you, how much in the future she longs to be with you again. So you get that letter in the mail, you open it up, or actually when you get it in the mail, do you bother opening it? Of course you would. You get your letter, you open it up, you read it. How many times, I wonder, do you read that letter? Some of you here may have had this experience. When you get that letter, you read it again, you read it again. Even though you know what the letter is saying, it's just like hearing from your loved one. It's the closest you are getting to actually being with the woman you love. I think we could identify with that. There's no problem with that. Well, listen, how much more is the love of God for us? We are referred to as the bride of Christ. We are His espoused. It's an old-fashioned word. It's like being engaged. Actually means more than that. To be espoused was effectively to be taken, to be married, apart from the consummation of it. So that's how I think we should view the Word of God. It's a love letter from our Father God. He wants to be with us. He longs to be with us. He will be with us one day. And we should value that letter in the same way. Again, as I said last time, when we're seeking to study and understand the Bible, this is a very important principle. What does the Bible say? You can read a lot of commentaries about the Bible, and yes, they can be very helpful. But bear in mind, commentaries have been written by men. And men, like all of us, we can get a biased view, we can get a wrong interpretation of something. Doesn't necessarily mean the commentator has everything together. What does the Bible say? Compare Scripture with Scripture. You'll recall from the first session we've done, where we've looked at the promises of God and the kingdom of God. We've been at pains to try and put all of those scriptures together that refer to Christ reigning on the earth. And the beauty today is we have concordances, which can lead us to all of these different chapters. Here's another important principle from Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. Now some may say, well, that only applies to the book of Revelation. And maybe so. But the principle is still true. And actually in Peter, 1 Peter 4:11, we read, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Also in Isaiah 8, verse 20, it says, if a man does not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in him. So it's very important in our Bible studies to consider what the Bible says. You know, unfortunately, again, in many traditional church circles, I grew up, for example, in a church where parts of the Old Testament were effectively ripped out because they were regarded as fable. Paul the Apostle was regarded as being sexist, so we'll rip out some of his teachings. What do you get at the end of that? You get a man-made Bible after that. This is all inspired and is all worthy of taking into our account when we study the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 say this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. We have a common saying we use amongst us as brothers in Christ. That is, God willing. You'll hear us say that quite a lot. And of course it's based on the instruction in James, which says, you know, don't say, I'm going to go to this city and do this or that, but say, if the Lord wills. The same principle applies to our study and our teaching of others in relation to the Word of God. Never let it be, well, I think this, or I believe that. We should be able to say, the Word of God says. Because I tell you what, the Word of God has stood the test of time. The Word of God, for centuries now, for millennia now, has been criticized, it's been undermined, people have tried to destroy it, it's been burnt, but the Word of God, as the Word says, endures forever. And as we've just seen in Proverbs 30, it is pure. So get in the habit of, when you are sharing with people, of quoting the Word. If you are not articulate, and our brother Duncan referred to this earlier today, if you're not particularly articulate, it doesn't matter. Just quote the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is power. It's the Word of God that saves. So in your study of the Word, sometimes things are hard to find. Sometimes things are a little bit difficult to understand. But in Proverbs 25 verse 2 it says, it is the glory of God to conceal the Word, and the glory of kings to search out the Word. Every one of us, male or female, are kings. 1 Peter 2 says we are kings and priests. We saw earlier how that we shall reign on the earth as kings. We are kings. So we have the opportunity to search out what God has concealed. That's a wonderful privilege, I think. But you may ask, why does God make it so difficult sometimes? Why couldn't he just spell it out in black and white? Why do I need to search? Well, you remember that Jesus in his ministry also applied this principle. How did he do it? He spoke often in parables. Parables, to sum up effectively, were heavenly principles, but told with an earthly story. He would talk about a landowner that would go away to a far country, or he would refer to a husbandman that would sow seed, and he would draw lessons about that. Now, there was a time, we're told, when there were a lot of people following him, primarily actually just to get a free meal, and he spoke in parables, and they didn't understand, and there were many who went away because they didn't understand. What was the simple solution to that problem? It was to ask. And the disciples, good for them, they hung in there despite their perplexity at times, but they hung in there, and when they got opportunity, they said to the Lord, well, we don't quite understand. And yes, he rebuked them for their slowness of heart, but Jesus went on to explain to them because they asked. And again, there's a principle in the book of James that says, you receive not because you ask not. So God has concealed things. We have the opportunity to search it out. But when he's concealed it, he hasn't concealed it never to be found. He's concealed it so that we can find it if we put in a bit of effort. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 to 16 sums up what we've just discussed. It says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Like I say, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that is part of what being born again is all about. In Romans 6 it says, reckon yourselves to be dead. We can talk at length about that, but the Scripture is saying to us, take up this challenge, brethren. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Don't live as you did in the old way. You now have a new life, a new mind, that can be empowered by the Spirit of God through his word. Another good way to study the Bible is to get together. Get together with other brothers. And I appreciate there are some of you who are isolated, who have to apply these principles alone. And we are very much aware of you in particular. We constantly pray for you and ask the Lord to bless you in your work. But again, praise be to God, we have the internet these days, we have Skype, we have the opportunity to share with other brethren quite easily. So take that opportunity. Use the technology that has been created for the glory of God and to be able to encourage and strengthen yourself and your brethren around you. In the Bible, in relation to fellowship, it says that we should forsake not the gathering of ourselves together. And that is a principle that, if we are able to, is so important, because we're able to encourage each other, we're able to empathize with each other, we're able to teach each other, and I'd say this much, we're able to offend each other too. Is that a good thing, you say? Well, not necessarily, but it is good when we can learn to get over those offenses and forgive each other. Because the fact is, we're all slightly different. We will at times offend each other, maybe have a different view or have a bad day and get offside with each other. The test of God's Spirit is, can we show grace and forgive each other? So we have on the screen now Esau. Some of you may or may not be aware of this. If you've got a computer and access online, very greatly recommend you download Esau. It's a free Bible program. It gives you access to any number of different translations of the Bible that you can compare. It gives you access to the Hebrew and the Greek through the concordance that is part of it, and is just a wonderful tool for studying the Bible. You can copy and paste from it if you're preparing notes for a talk, perhaps, or preparing a letter that you're going to send to somebody. So this is a wonderful way to study the Bible and praise God for the gentleman who's made this available free to the whole world. In 2 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 15, it says, "And think of the long-suffering of our Lord as salvation, as our beloved brother Paul also has written to you according to the wisdom given to him, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which the unlearned and unstable pervert, as also they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." So the word of God here is being quite upfront about the fact that particularly Paul writes some things that are hard to understand. And again, why? Why would God inspire the Apostle Paul to write things for us which sometimes are hard to understand? Well, again, as we've discussed, I think it falls into this category God conceals and expects us to discover. Jesus spoke in parables and expected the people to ask if they didn't understand. So these things which Paul wrote, which are sometimes hard to understand, again, if we apply this, the principle of comparing Scripture with Scripture, we can understand these things. Now notice the warning there about those who twist the Scriptures, such Scriptures that are hard to understand. We're told they do it to their own destruction. Now, don't feel condemned if maybe we haven't come to a full understanding of everything in God's Word, or maybe after the period of time we have together, you might think, well, I have that wrong. Don't be at all condemned by that. We're all in this learning process together. But this is talking about people who are perverting things to their own ends. And of course, sadly, in a lot of Christian circles, that is the case. Scriptures will be used to either extort money, to extort prestige, or for other carnal reasons. Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, "Where no wise guidance is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." I'd encourage you as well to utilize your brethren, albeit around the world, and again, through the internet. Surround yourself with Christian brothers and sisters who know the Word of God, who humbly seek the Lord, and use their wisdom. Tap in to their wisdom and understanding. I've been very blessed in my experience. Our pastor, he's been a Christian for 50, 55 years and has been very committed to studying the Word of God. And over the years, as a young Christian, and even now, I've been able to learn a lot from him by asking questions, by talking about the Word together. So, again, surround yourself with other counselors. In James 1, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work out the righteousness of God." Now, someone pointed out in a talk I heard once, we have one mouth and two ears, because God expects us to hear twice as much as we speak. And maybe God designed it that way, I don't know. But the principle of James certainly applies. We should be slow, slow to speak. The Bible also says, in the multitude of words, there wants not sin. But if we're quick to hear, keen to hear, keen to understand, we will learn much more from the Word of God and those who are teaching us. Now, it can be fun to speculate. You know, there are some things in the Word of God, some topics in the Word of God that are very scantily referred to. I mean, there are some Bible topics we could raise where, frankly, there is only one scripture that relates to it. I mean, one of them that comes to mind is the millennium. You only read reference to that once. Or the Battle of Armageddon. It's only used once in the Bible. And although I don't think we'd have too much of a problem with those particular subjects going off track, my example still holds. There are some subjects which can become very controversial to the point where brothers and sisters will fall out, and to the extreme where they won't even fellowship with each other, that is, won't even regard each other as being bona fide Christians. And frankly, a lot of those subjects, there's very little to go on the Bible. One brother's view could be right, the other brother's view could be right. So, brethren, this is just a warning. Not to get too much into speculation, because speculation can lead down dead-end paths and into error, and it can also detract from the truth of God's word revealed in his word, and, of course, taken to extremes, can lead us to fall out with each other. And that's not what the word of God is intended to. One of the key things about particularly presenting the word of God to people, teaching the word of God to people yourself, is to give the sense of it. And in Nehemiah, it's a very good example of that. We're told that the people, they stood up and they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and Ezra the scribe gave the sense so that they understood the reading. I think that's one of the things, if you're going to take the word of God to people, is to remember that. My role is to help people get the sense of it. Because, yes, sometimes God's word isn't easy on the surface of it to understand. So remember that as well. Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Those weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." I like this scripture because it sets out a pattern of learning. One commentator I read said that in the Hebrew, this is referring to how children would learn. It was like a type of learning by rote, where the teacher would say one thing and the child had to repeat. And through that period of repetition, they would learn. As the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. So as you're learning, don't expect to necessarily grow too quickly in your knowledge. Just take it one step at a time, building precept upon precept, until the point where you can be strong or stronger in the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, it says, "The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is another challenge I want to put out to you, particularly those of you who will go out and take on leadership roles. You will perhaps establish groups of believers and be required to lead them, to maybe pastor them or be their elder. Find other faithful men and teach them so that they may be able to teach others also. This is one of the patterns of the New Testament church. Jesus taught his disciples, of course. They then went and preached to others, particularly, of course, the Apostle Paul got converted. He went throughout the land preaching, finding people, finding groups of believers that would believe in Jesus, appointing elders when he moved on who would then lead the church and continue in this work. So there's another Bible principle to add to this situation. So we talk a lot about wisdom, don't we? Having the wisdom of God, the Bible tells us to get wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom oftentimes is one of those words which seems quite elusive to actually come up with a definition for. On the screen, we've got this saying, "Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge?" There has been a knowledge explosion in our era, as we've referred to already. We have such great technological advances in knowledge. We can go to the moon now. We can do amazing things with medicine and various different medical operations. But where's the wisdom of God gone in all of that? And of course, the wisdom of God has nothing to do with basic human knowledge. Proverbs 24 verse 3 says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." Brother Duncan made reference to the poetic parallelisms that the Word of God often uses. And this is another example of that, where wisdom, building a house, is synonymous with understanding, establishing it. And I think that gives us a clue to what God regards as true wisdom. It's understanding something. Most of you will probably have come across this, particularly in your workplaces. There will be people often who have knowledge of something, but they really have no understanding of the how and the why that knowledge is applied. And you'll probably appreciate that those workers don't tend to be as fruitful or as beneficial as those who actually understand why they are doing a certain thing. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, similar terms, but with differences. Proverbs 4 verse 7, "Wisdom is the main thing, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding," is another good scripture in relation to this. So in summary, and again, there are a number of different shades of these definitions, but I would call knowledge knowing facts or information. Some people are good at parroting off information. That's knowledge. Wisdom is skillful appreciation of that knowledge, and understanding is skillful use of that knowledge. So getting wisdom, appreciating God's word, understanding God's word, and then being able to apply it, I think, is the full package deal. So how to share it with others is, of course, the question. Matthew 13, verses 51 to 52, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who is instructed to the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a householder, who brings out things new and old out of his treasure." Now, of course, we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. And we, as people having the wisdom of God, perhaps can apply it that way. We can show people through the Old Testament and the New Testament that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is the one to follow. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not atheism, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi 3:16. This is a wonderful scripture. "They that feared the Lord spoke often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So here's another challenge. Take every opportunity you have to speak often with one another. Not about rugby, not about baseball, but about the word of God, about the Lord. And you know, the Lord hearkens. The Lord hears us when we speak to another and writes us up in a book of remembrance. It blesses the Lord. That scripture actually goes on to say that we will then be jewels that make up the house of the Lord. We will be something precious to God by talking about him. He loves to hear us talk about his ways and his precepts. And again, if you can't do it face to face with a brother, use your email, use your internet or whatever particular way you have to do this. Very important. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." And again, Duncan has introduced us to this already this morning. But really, this is the key to it all, isn't it? We're studying the Word of God We want to get the understanding of the Word of God, the wisdom of the Word of God, and all of that, so that we can go out and be effective and tell people about Christ and His kingdom. Matthew 4, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As we've already discussed, it's a wonderful analogy of our role. We've got to catch. We've got to catch men. Be fishers of men. And as I've already referred to, don't be afraid to use different approaches in the Word of God. The gospel is still the gospel. The kingdom of God is still the kingdom of God, and we've discussed what that is. But some people will see it in slightly different ways. Now that's the end of this session. It's a bit shorter than some of the other previous ones. But just in conclusion, when we're talking about how to study the Bible, be aware that we do have quite a number of resources available free through CareLinks. This, of course, is the Bible Basics, which has been translated into about 50 or 60 different languages. We also have other little pamphlets on various Bible topics. This one's on the second coming of Christ, to do with the Trinity and the oneness of God. We have a smaller version of Bible Basics called Introducing Bible Basics, which is a shorter summary, which is an excellent way of getting people interested. Other topics to do with the beast and Revelation. We also have smaller tracts, which you can give away to people very easily, just presenting the basic gospel. And this is just a sample of some of the literature available. You can contact us and have access to this literature. And for me, these, as we've discussed, are like different bait. All of these subjects on the Bible and Bible teaching in slightly different formats, some in a little tract, some in a comprehensive book about the Bible, all different bait. Some people will read a little and be attracted. Other people prefer to take hours to delve into something a bit more meaty. But please, I encourage you all to use the resources we have at our disposal, as we've discussed, and go out into the world, study the Bible, and get others interested in it, so they also can enjoy the wonderful joy of the gospel and the kingdom of heaven to come. Amen.